We're going to jump into the Psalms again. If you have your Bibles, we'll look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Just such an encouraging and comforting psalm. As you're turning there, let me just again remind, we mentioned this last week, and we mentioned this morning as well. One of the projects we're working on as well is to try to aid in some Bible assemblies that could then be used in distribution. And so our goal is to start with assembling 5,000 of the Romans and have those be sent back and sent to South America. And so we would like to get that started. It's going to take us about $1,300 to begin the process. And we're not exactly sure how quick we'll go through and assemble 5,000. That may last us a few months, and then we'll go and back and forth. The ministry is down in Bedford. So not too far, an hour and 20 minutes or so to go get those and bring those back and forth. But if you'd like to give towards that, you can mark that on an offering envelope. Also, then any loose cash tonight would be put that way. But we want to just see God's word go forward. But we're in Psalm 119, which is fitting, again, as we think about the word of God. As this is the entirety of this psalm, that's the theme, is the word of God. And recognizing the importance of that. In fact, I was thinking about this as, John, you were mentioning that you listened to Psalm 119 and just found that very comforting. In the early 19th century, William Wilberforce was a politician in England, also a big part of the slave abolitionist movement. And in 1819, he was actually in Parliament and had a rough day. He was trying to change and make a change there, and had a rough day in Parliament through the day. And on the way home, he said that he quoted to himself. So he had to have known Scripture, but he quoted and was reciting to himself Psalm 119 in the entirety of his walk back home through Hyde Park, and found that to be a great comfort and encouragement as he was striving for that cause and trusting the Lord with it. And so just thinking about how encouraging the Psalms are, and specifically even Psalm 119 is. And we think about this as the focus on the importance of the Word of God and what a foundation it is. We looked at really the priority of the Word of God last week, and this time we're going to be looking at the foundation of that and what an anchor it is for us in perilous times. Looking for a place of safety and security and guidance is in the Word of God. And I was thinking about this, and just this last week, they had in Mississippi, they had a massive tornado that came through and ripped up a long swath of an area through Mississippi and caused a lot of destruction. And it caused me to think back years ago where there was a tornado that ripped through in the state of Alabama and left some 250 people dead in its wake. And near Wellington, Alabama, and there was a family, the Hardy family. They were outdoors, and they saw it coming. Were trying to find a place of protection, and they thought maybe we can run this little outbuilding, and that'll give us something. But by the time they got there, it already flipped on its side, and they didn't know where to go. And so they grabbed some things and ran out to a little grove of trees out behind their place. And the only thing I could think of was, let's tie the kids to the trees, and we'll all huddle around this and find security in this. And it actually worked. As the tornado ripped through, they said they had some lacerations, some minor lacerations, had some scrapes and bruises from things flying. But all in all, that held them there because of the stronger foundation of that. And they were holding on to that, holding on to those trees, and knew this thing is sturdy. This is safe. If we can stay on to this, we'll be okay. And I think of that even as we think through the Word of God. What is it in somewhat the chaotic climate of our culture? What is it in the hurly-burly of life when things sometimes go awry in our lives? Where is it that we turn to for and hold on to for security? What is it that we lean into and trust to guide us through those times? And it's the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation in those times. And we see that here in this psalm, Psalm 119. How important and consistent a meditated study of Scriptures is in our lives. Matthew Henry once said, all grace grows as love for the Word of God grows. And so what I want to look at tonight, we looked at the first eight verses last time, and you'll remember that Psalm 119 is laid out as an acrostic. There is 22 stanzas, each stanza reflecting a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the verses in those eight verses all begin with that Hebrew letter, and so there is a sequence, and that's partly was a style to help in memorization, to help in reciting of Scripture back, as they would do that in public things. So that was partly for that. Now, that obviously is lost to us in our English translation. It doesn't transfer over that way. But we looked at the first one last time, in the first eight verses, and seeing the walk in the law of the Lord and the blessing of it. Today, I want to jump ahead, and we're going to be looking actually in verses 89 through 96. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at similar following behind this, and really seeing a flow of some thoughts here. But tonight, we're looking at this firm foundation that's found here. And really what we come to, this is the second half. Remember, there's 22 stanzas. This starts the second half of that. And really is what we find is in the first 11 stanzas, the substance has been that of the kind of the direction has been regarding that affliction and conflicts are real. And so we're going to lean into and trust the Word of God. But then the final 11 stanzas lean into that the Word of God changes not. It's the firm foundation. It's our security. And so notice that as we even look at verse 89, it starts it here. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. You see that confidence of security and that it's going to last. The English Standard Version says it this way, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. And we find similar throughout this psalm. We find in verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. Verse 152, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Verse 160, the entirety of your word is true, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So we're seeing this pattern that flows throughout the rest of the psalm here with a focus on the enduring forever. That gives us a real great confidence in the Word of God. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I want to break that down. What does that mean to us, that the word of the Lord endures forever? And so the reality of it, the eternal nature of the word. Let's start here in verse 89, the certainty of the word. We're going to start at here, the certainty of the word. And so he says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And notice the first thing we're going to see is the source. This is forever, O Lord. And it's interesting, you may not quite see why I'm labeling this the source. There's an emphasis here that's often missed. By the word construction, it's accurate to render this way. Forever are you, O Lord. That's interesting that the word of God is eternal because God is eternal. The source of the word is Him. Thereby, we have confidence and security in it. Forever are you, O Lord, is a way that can be rendered. And so in that construction, we can see that the firm foundation is placed upon the source, our eternal Lord. Forever is the Hebrew word which is used 425 times in the Old Testament. It means everlasting, unending, perpetual, forevermore. It's a word that specifies that there is no beginning, no ending of something. It continues forever. And that's why we have Jesus introduce himself. For instance, in Revelation chapter 1, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I want to take you to the first time that idea, that concept of God being eternal, is actually given to us. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy 33. It's the first time we're going to see this phrase. This is Moses' kind of final song. That's how they call it. Moses' final admonition to the people of Israel, his blessing to them before he ascends up Mount Nebo, dies on Mount Nebo, and that's the end of Moses' ministry. And there's coming to the end here in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33. He encourages the people by saying, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun is believed to be a name for Israel. No one like him who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heaven shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. But notice that the eternal God is your refuge. There's that first time we see that phrase, the eternal God. That as Moses is encouraging them, hey, you're going to go into the promised land. There is new things out in front of you. What are you trusting in? The eternal God is your refuge. And I like the next phrase, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In other words, he's there to carry you through this. We can trust him. We can lean into him on this because he is forever. He is eternal. So our foundations are secure. And so the emphasis here is that God's word is secure because he is eternal. So what he speaks to us, we can have confidence in. And he's a God who changes not, Malachi 3:6 says. So we can stand with surety that his word is also forever. And so what that means is what God has said has always been true. It's true now, and it will always be true forevermore. There will never be a time when you'll wake up and discover that God's word is no longer true. It simply won't happen because it's from the eternal God. He's the source. What does that tell us? Well, two things. One, we can trust the word of God. We should not be overly worried by skeptics as well. As much as skeptics try to tell us that there is problems with God's word or you can't trust it, God's word always stands because he is eternal. It gives us confidence in that. Bernard Ram said this, 1,000 times over, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded, skeptics trying to come after that. A funeral procession formed and the inscription cut on the tombstone and committal read, but somehow the corpse never stays put. In other words, he was emphasizing, as people try to attack the word of God, they can never kill it. I read a poem years ago that I pulled back out. I believe it's John Clifford who wrote this. He calls it the anvil of God's word. The poem says this, last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring, the vespers chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he, and then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed and the hammers are gone. There is a confidence in the same way in God's word that it is sure. So we see the source there is forever, O Lord, is that aspect of forever are you, O Lord. What does that lead to as well? He speaks of the singularity, your word. First, notice it's God's word. It's his possession and it's his revealed thought. In other words, that you would have no ability to know God if he had not chosen to reveal himself to us through his word. General revelation is not sufficient for us to know God. That must be through special revelation, which is God's word to us. How good of a God must he be that he says, I want to write this down so they can know me. I want to reveal myself to me. I don't want to be some ambivalent or unknown God. I want them to know me. He's revealed himself. It's his word. So there's a possessiveness to this. But also notice that it's a singular word. Forever, O Lord, your word, not words. It's seen as a unit together. That describes a one declarative word from heaven. And so declaring the essential unity of Holy Scripture, that they work together. Theologians sometimes will refer to it as the plenary inspiration of the Bible. The term plenary speaks of whole or complete, that God inspired all of it. It didn't just inspire parts of that. I was in a discussion with someone just today, and they're working through a situation with an institution in which some of their faculty at a Bible college was saying they believe that some of the Bible is inspired. Well, then where do you determine that? They were saying they believe that some of the Old Testament, not all of the Psalms, different parts of the Old Testament, and not the New Testament is inspired. Well, who determines that? The Bible here says that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. He inspired all of it. If you think about that word plenary, you think of a session at a conference, means a conference where everyone is assembled. It's the whole is all there. And to speak of plenary inspiration means that every part of the Bible is equally inspired. When you think of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. Not just part of that. There is a translation, and I had it actually, it was in the side notes of my margin of my Bible. It had it, one of my Bibles, it rephrased this way: all Scripture that is inspired of God is profitable. Do you notice the subtle error with that? All Scripture is inspired of God. That's not what it says. The Greek literally says all Scripture is inspired of God. And so the singularity, God has inspired all of his word, and we can trust that. To paraphrase the great Anglican Bishop J.C. Ryle, he said, I would rather believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Holy Scripture than to stand with those who doubt. I can live with the problem and with questions I cannot fully answer while I wait patiently for answers to come. And while I wait, I am standing on the rock of God's truth. So what we don't want to do is say, well, if I don't understand this, it might not be true. No, the misunderstanding comes with us. We're working it through, trying to figure it out, and there's aspects that God is revealing. God is an amazing, awesome God, and he's revealing things to us that are difficult. They're challenging. And so we have to trust his word. But then he gives us a security with this. Your word is settled in heaven. The word settled means to be firmly fixed, so that an object cannot be moved. We think of that word settled means it's driven down deep in the bedrock of heaven. Nothing that happens on earth can change God's word in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Think of it this way. When they go to build skyscrapers, what they say is the higher you go up, the deeper you have to go down. Right? So if you're going to build a high skyscraper, they got to dig down so they can dig way down in the ground to develop that has a strong foundation on bedrock. In fact, I was reading on one of the towers, the Petronas Towers in Malaysia. It stands 1,483 feet in the air, but the foundation goes down into the ground 394 feet deep. So a football field and a third deep into the ground, because they knew it had to have a sure foundation. Well, the sure foundation of the Word of God that's settled and it's firmly established on is settled in heaven. Some would argue, I appreciate John R. Rice, he argued in one of his books, based on this verse, that God's Word is settled because it was written down in heaven before it was ever written down on earth. Now think about that. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Like it was already, your word is eternal. So before it ever came into to humans, to their language, to us to have and to hold, it was already put down. It was already established. So before Isaiah ever uttered a single prophecy, all that he was going to write was already planned by God in heaven. Before Micah, before Moses, David, Paul, John, all the others, writers of the Bible, it was already written down in heaven. So how sure is your foundation? It's settled in heaven. And so there's two wonderful truths that kind of come out of that then. One is that God's truth cannot be overturned. God's truth will never come out of date, will never be worthless to us or be of no effect. God's word is settled in heaven. Before his death in 1778, the French skeptic Voltaire predicted that within 100 years, Christianity would no longer exist because thinking people would completely reject it. And one of the delightful ironies of history, in less than 100 years, in less than 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society was using his printing press and his house to print Bibles. As God says, you think that my word's not going to last? You want to predict that it's going to go away? I'm going to print Bibles in your house, on your printing press. God's word is settled. It's secure. It's settled in heaven for us, and it cannot be overturned. And God's truth remains the same in every generation. That's a wonderful truth. As we start to try to say, well, how do we take what's going on in our society and apply Scripture to it? We hear of situations or trying to figure out what is moral, what's not moral. And we see people trying to change doctrines and cultural circumstances to determine. And what we know is God's word is already settled for us. For example, some time back, CNN specialist said this. Daniel Helmanek, he said this. He's described as an ordained priest in Rome, a theologian, psychotherapist, and author of what the Bible really says about homosexuality and books of contemporary spirituality. He said this. He said, in the past 60 years, we have learned more about sex by far than in any preceding millennia. Is it likely that an ancient people who thought the male was the basic biological model and the world flat understood homosexuality as we do today? Could they ever have addressed the questions about homosexuality that we grapple with today? Of course not. What he's missing is God's word isn't dependent upon our understanding or the culture around us. He's missing the fact that God's word is already settled. And so has God revealed to us how we should handle morality? Yes. Has God already spoken on, we don't have to ask if adultery is wrong because God settled that question 3,500 years ago at Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. We don't have to ask if marriage is to be one woman with one man or two men and two women or whatever that would be because God settled that 6,000 years ago in Genesis 2 and eternally gave it to us in his word in heaven. And so what we have to do is we have to take God's word and apply it to these situations. Apply it to our lives to guide us. That's why, as we said earlier, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because it's God's instruction for us. And there's a certainty to it. Now, that builds from there to the following verses. In verses 90 to 91, we see, secondly, the credibility of the word. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. When it speaks of they continue according to your ordinances and all are your servants, what's that speaking about? It's speaking about all of creation. So look at it this way. The credibility, the firm foundation of the eternal word is seen in the fact of general creation for us. General creation speaks to the fact there is a God who is over all of this. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. That God created it all, and it, he sustains it all. And the very fact that it's all here and it's all happening the way God says it's supposed to be reveals to us God is in control and his word is sure for us. There's a confidence in that. All the way back in Genesis chapter 8, after Noah comes off the ark and offers a sacrifice to God, God then commits to him and says, while earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God promises, I'm going to sustain day and night, all of the seasons. I'm going to sustain all that's happening in our earth. You don't have to worry about this as a promise. And the psalmist sees the same thing, that you establish the earth and it abides, it stands, it is exactly how you created it. And that's, he's speaking to this as a, gives credibility to the word of God. What a great hope and security and certainty that his promises made thousands of years prior will be accomplished. You don't have to wonder, tomorrow is gravity going to work? No one ever wakes up and wonders that. You don't have to wonder if the nature, the laws of nature would no longer be effective tomorrow. Why? Because we have a God who controls them. And the Bible says, look, you have God that controls that. This is his word. And so the security in your word is rooted in the person of the word, and he's the one who's over all of this. It's all ordered by his plan. Therefore, we can trust it. And so even when things seem like they're out of control, there is a credibility to his word. And the last part that we see is in verses 92 to 96 with the confidence of the word. Notice he continues on there after he speaks about the word, or the credibility of this and God's word being sure because he created the world and it all stands. But he says, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for that by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. And what he's doing here is he's just laid out in those first two parts why I trust I can go to the word of God and I can have confidence in this. But now he plays this out into regular life. When things aren't looking great around me, when I'm struggling with things around me, and there's the hurly-burly of life that's still tumultuous and it's uncertain, and we are seeing economic struggles, and we see health problems, and we see this the chaos of morality decline in our culture, and what's being taught in schools, and all these things happening on. He says, unless your law, your word had been my delight, I would have perished in my afflictions. I would never be able to make it through. In other words, the psalmist is saying, this has been my daily confidence. This is where I found hope. That's why he says later on in the Psalms, in your word I hope. Our hope is found in his word. Even though the enemies are real, he talks about, but God's word is the firm foundation. It's the anchor of the soul. And so what we take from this, as we think about just the application of God's word to our lives, when we think about this, the confidence in it, is we're going to take this and lean into that firm foundation. We're going to be in that. Let that provide hope and security and comfort to us when we're going through situations. Let that provide guidance to us as we think, how am I going to manage this? What should I do in this situation? Well, you know who's spoken? You know who is much wiser than we will ever be? It's God himself. He didn't leave us without direction. He didn't leave us without instructions and commandments for us. He wants to guide us with that. And in there, the psalmist is recognizing, here's my delight. Here is where I find security. Here is where you have given me life. And even though people are out to destroy me, I've sought your precepts. And I have found that to be exceedingly good. And so we're finding just a confidence there. And so I think about all of this, and I think about even a famous hymn that was sung at the funeral for General E. Lee. As he leaned back into this psalm, it was his favorite hymn of General Robert E. Lee. The song sung at his funeral was, "How Firm a Foundation. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." So what we're seeing here in this portion is just the importance of having that foundation. No matter what's going on, no matter how difficult things might be around us, no matter how the world hurls skeptics or hurling out accusations and trying to bring about falsehoods and all those things, we don't have to fear. Our roots go deep. And when the tornado of life comes around, we're bound to that. We're safe in his arms because he's the eternal God, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God's got us, and his word is his guide for us. So no matter what you're going through, just find confidence in that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for just the encouragement of your word tonight. As we continue to just be challenged in that, Lord, we want to thank you for the way the psalmist brings this out to us. And I pray that you'd help us that we would continue to lean into your word on a regular daily basis to find joy and comfort, that we'd find guidance for the steps of our lives, recognizing that, God, your word is settled in heaven. You established this. You prepared this long before it ever even came to us. And you are the eternal, all-powerful God. Your word is secure because you are eternal, and your word is secure because you're the one who sustains all these things. Nothing happens without your allowance and your purpose. And so, God, we find comfort and encouragement from your word. Help us as we go into our week and the things about us this week, that we might continue to find comfort and encouragement there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing?